verse talks about in the Shrimad Bhagavatam, and the other part I would like to talk a little bit about attaining super happiness through Krishna consciousness. In some way or other, we see now what we call the new age gurus, which are filling up India and many parts of the West. They speak about personality development. So we will talk a little bit about personality development through Krishna consciousness, which I'm 100% all you will like, and all you will feel proud from being devotees and being bhaktas of Krishna. Do they repeat the verses here? There is a board with the verse or not? There is no board. Today's lecture is from the canto 4th, chapter 1, text 16. This has a very short purport by Srila Prabhupada, so we may read more than one verse. 6 months back, I had a perfect vision. Somehow or other, now I lost a little bit from my capacity of seeing things, but I will try to read something. Vidura uvacha atrer grihe sura shrestaha estite utpati antahetavaha kinshik shi krisavo jata etat akyahi me guru. Anyone wants to repeat? No, if anyone wants to repeat, just to have short time. Vidura uvacha atrer grihe sura shrestaha I will really translate me just to shorten a little bit the time. One of the biggest enemies of this material world is the time. That powerful is the time that Krishna does not delegate this activity to any person, to any deva. He only controls the time. So the time sometimes is our enemy, and we have to be like in rush. The translation says, after hearing this, Vidura inquired from Maitreya, "My dear master, how is that the three deities, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, who are the creator, maintainer and destroyer of the whole creation, became the offspring of the wife of Atri Muni?" Purport. The inquisitiveness of Vidura was quite fitting, for he understood that when the Super Soul, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, all appeared through the person of Anasuya, the wife of Atri Muni, there must have been some great purpose. Otherwise, why should they have appeared in such a way? Do you need me to read another text, or we can go ahead? Okay, in this fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, as I'm sure the previous devotees who were talking about, talks about, in fact, is the beginning of the humankind. Lord Brahma, by the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he creates the Manus and orders them to begot as many descendants as possible in the whole cosmic manifestation, so we can all exist in these material bodies. But here Atri Muni, as Srila Prabhupada explains in other verses, he in fact does not know who is the real Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why he called the three presiding deities who have the responsibilities to create, maintain, and destroy this universe. One time I asked Guru Maharaj how we can define Krishna from his expansions, incarnations, and the devas. He said that Krishna has his expansions in order to administer and manage the whole cosmic manifestation. So, Vishnu, Paramatma, and all the expansions of Lord Balaram are in fact the God servants of Krishna. Although they are God himself, but they are doing a duty in order to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Adi Purusham, Sri Krishna Bhagavan. So the other expansions of the Supreme Lord and the incarnations of his energies are a servant in such a high position in order to give administration and management to all the affairs in this world, from the highest to the lowest planet. Atrimuni did, we can say, a karma kanda austerity by doing the austerity to stand on one of his legs for more than 100 years. And after he got enough mystic power to bring up fire from his head and could attract the attention of the three devas, they appeared before him. But obviously, as Srila Prabhupada explained here, it is not done just because out of coincidence, but there is a mission, there is a reason why this happens. And all we know from this great moon is also many devas came, who are the controllers of many planets, many energies. I think if I'm not wrong, it said 33 crores, which is not a small amount. But obviously, this cosmic manifestation is almost unlimited, because it's limited. So there is a lot of things to do. And trillions and unlimited number of living entities have descended, either falling down, either descended to this world. And it's not easy to manage their affairs. It's not easy to manage the law of karma. It's not easy to manage 8,400,000 different varieties and consciousness amongst all the living beings. Here Srila Prabhupada explained that unfortunately Atrimuni didn't know who was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But why this happens, and many of the slokas in some of our shastras give support to some schools of thoughts in India, like basically the Mayavada school. And I would like to point out a few things. Here Srila Prabhupada made emphasis how the super soul who controls Brahma and Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they appear three because he didn't know whom he was approaching. Actually, in one of the books written by some big scholar in India, which is not from the Vaishnava line, he gives more credit to Vishnu and to Krishna. Being a Mayavadi, he says, it is easy to create. And the job of Brahma finished at the beginning. And it is a short time compared to the existence itself. And it's much easier to destroy, which will be the duty of Lord Shiva. But more difficult is to maintain what it is created. And this is the role that Lord Vishnu takes. Some people ask why Krishna kills. And some people ask why Nrisingadev kills if he is the Lord, if he is full compassion. One time I had one person who was a scholar, but not on our level, obviously. This I will talk later on, how the level of the Vaishnavas in knowledge and austerities. And then he asked, he told me that God is imperfect. I say, why you came out to this conclusion? He said, because if he would be perfect, he would have been created a perfect world. But because there is imperfection, so he is the source of the imperfection, therefore he is imperfect. You see how shortage. He has, even I discussed this with Siddhar Maharaj before he passed away, and even he gave me the right answer. He said, because he is very merciful and because he is perfect, he gives field and chance to the imperfection of the jivas. It's not that he is imperfect. The misuse and the abuse and the free will creates the imperfection, creates the suffering, creates the struggling, creates the short lives, creates the death in its way. Not because he is imperfect. So we must understand, we have to have a spiritual intelligence. There is no use to have the intelligence of the big scholars, because the big scholars, they are not devotees of Krishna. I have been reading many books for the last 4 months. I have been visiting many different schools of thoughts, basically in South India, and I have found that there are many, many intelligent people. They write in an astonishing way, but they are far, far, far away from being devotees of the Lord. So they can understand his external aspect. They can understand Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita, but they don't know the Srimad Bhagavatam. They can understand Shiva, because Shiva is a filter, Brahma is a filter, Ganesh is a filter. They are the devas who filter the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from those who do not deserve to worship him directly in his original form. So they are filters. But if they would read the Gita Mahatmaya, if they would read the Bhagavatam, they would know each one who is. They would know who is Krishna, they would know who is Shiva, they would know who is Buddha. I had the opportunity in 2001 to meet His Holiness the Dalai Lama. And the first thing he said to us, we don't believe in God. But I told him, but according to the Hinduism, Lord Buddha is the ninth incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, we don't believe in this. I even gifted him the Gita and the Vaishnava K. He put it there, he was not interested. But this is his teaching. This is what Lord Buddha wanted. He came with the purpose of denying the Vedas. But his purpose was not fulfilled. He wanted to implement Ahimsa and Karuna. They are not implementing this. Even Ekanath Gora yesterday, he says, how is it possible I went to Thailand, which is a Buddhist country par excellence, and they eat all kind of animals. So where is Ahimsa? So that's why they don't follow the teaching. And the purpose of presence and appearance of Lord Buddha is basically to withdraw or to remove the animal sacrifice from the so-called spiritual austerities. But they don't follow this. But by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas, we do know the truth. We know who is Buddha, what for he came. We know who is Shiva, who is Parvati. We know who is Ganesh. We bow down to them because they are the greatest servants of the Lord. But with which consciousness we offer our respects, this is the intelligence of the devotee. I bow down to Shiva, but I know from my heart he's not the ultimate. And we offer respect to Lord Ganesh. It's not that we reject. We have to be very careful not to be wrongly situated in a fanaticism. Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur explains on this, that there is a wrong conception that the Vaishnavas, they hate the Mayavadas. The Vaishnavas, they don't hate. Out of compassion, they must preach the truth. But we don't hate. It's just we understand the real constitutional position of each deva. And we must be very intelligent in this case. Not to be sentimentalist, not to be like fanatics in one point. Not either fanatic. All extremes are very bad. But we have to be very intelligent and very compassionate to respect others, to give the credit of each great personality who at the end all they are serving the will and desires of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Coming back to this point, Srila Prabhupada always, whenever he talks about all these important issues, he quotes the Shastras, he quotes the Puranas, he quotes the Bhagavad Gita. And the 10.8 of the Gita, Srila Prabhupada explains why and how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and no one else. And he quotes from four different sources. So it's not that he says one thing and just because he said must be accepted. No, he has a reference, he has a quote. And a very well-versed Vaishnava must always consider that by quoting the Shastras, his teachings and his preaching will be solid and will be supported and as well defended and protected. This is one of our styles and one of our ways in order to deliver the absolute truth. There are a few things that come now to my mind. We should not give Bhagavatam class without bringing to all these lectures the mission and the greatness of the greatest devotee ever existed and exist, who is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Recently I was in the Ratha Yatra in Puri and I met few people who unfortunately, but it was the arrangement of Jagannath. Unfortunately, there are some people, even in Puri, where the Supreme Lord was for 18 years, they don't accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I repeat and I say, the difference between us and them, apart that we are devotees of the Lord, we know much more. We have access to more information. We have access to more books. From the Gita is not enough to know the greatness and the confidential knowledge of Krishna, because although it's the greatest book, it's the introduction to the confidential knowledge, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And what to talk about the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So many people, they don't accept him. And there is a confusion from where he disappeared, from Gundicha Mandir or from Tota Gopinath Mandir. He can disappear from both places. He was with seven groups dancing during Ratha Yatra of Jagannath Ratha Yatra at his time. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can be in millions of places simultaneously, and from each place he can leave the world. Who can say not? There is one problem, one discussion I had with one Shia, one Muslim Shia in New York like 10 years ago. He said, you cannot say that the Lord has form because you limit him. That's why he cannot be a person. This is limiting the Lord. I said, yes, you are right. This is your teaching. You are not allowed to know more. You are the limited. But I want to ask you one simple question. There is another school of philosophy and knowledge about the absolute truth that says that if you say that he cannot have a form, you are limiting him. You say if he has a form, we are limiting him into a form. But I'm telling you, if you say that he cannot have a form, means you are limiting him. Why you can have a form and he cannot have a form? One time, one new devotee came to our ISKCON temple in Venezuela, where is Radha Giridhari, and he says, who's this? And then one devotee is Bhakta. He said, no, this is God, this is Krishna God. And then what she's doing there? Who is this lady? Why she's there? Because the concept is that God is ascetic, no lady. They don't know that Krishna is boundless. He has no rules. He doesn't follow any rules. He's not limited. Even Lord Ramachandra was limited because he preached Sanatana Dharma with his own example. So he limited himself. But Krishna, no limitation is there. 16,108 gopis doing everything, creating quarrel amongst the asuras so they can finish themselves. Who can do this? Only he can do that. So then he says, "Why? What? Who is there?" He says, "She is Radharani." I said, then my friend, he was new, he said, well, she's his girlfriend. And he said, God has girlfriend. He said, how is it possible God has girlfriend? Then he said, I like his reply, although he was new, he says, do you have a girlfriend? He said, yes, I have a girlfriend, so why he cannot have? You are a simple, stupid person. And you have a girlfriend, and he's the owner of everything. And you don't want him to have a girlfriend. What is this? And it was like a click. It's like a shift in the mind. He says, yes, you are right. Why he cannot have a girlfriend? Why, if there is an ocean of water, cannot be ocean of milk? Why not? Where it says that there cannot be an ocean of milk? Why not? Who creates water cannot create milk? What is this? This is all non... This is a spiritual ignorance or purely material intelligence. There is no difference. Spiritual ignorance or purely material intelligence, the people are so shortage in mind that they can see, oh, something exists because I accept it, and the other thing does not exist because I cannot perceive it. So this is spiritual intelligence, and we, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have access to more knowledge. Somehow or other, in this esoteric way, in our initiation, we get some mystic touch that gives us deep understanding of too many things that we read. This intelligence, this... One time I asked one astrologer, why you are checking my birth chart according to my material birth and not according to my spiritual birth? He said, there is no way to find out exactly when is your spiritual birth. It's not the jagya. The jagya is a commitment, is a vow. But the spiritual birth is that very second when you realize God consciousness and you surrender. That very moment that I surrendered and I say, I must have a spiritual master, I must give up material life, that is the real beginning of your spiritual life. Otherwise, today a guru can initiate 500 people and all they are initiated the same day. So we cannot say that all they have the same astrological chart. So the real initiation is when I decide through my free will that I am surrendered, I am a devotee of Krishna. And then he starts manifesting to me his most confidential knowledge. Coming back to the point that I spoke at the beginning about spirit, about personality development, which I started writing a book. I will have two versions, one for devotees and one for non-devotees. I want to point out that to develop ourselves in a successful way, we must be 100% ourselves. Who is the successful manager who is devoting 100% of his time to his mission? Who is a perfect devotee who is 100% devotee? If he is 99% devotee, it's very dangerous, because that 1% may spoil the rest, may create in him distress, disturbances, material desires, and thus he will become unhappy. There is a big Sikh scholar from the Sikh, from Punjab, who has been writing many books and debating with the Hindus. About, there are certain conflicts in philosophy and understanding between the Sikhs, the Judaism and the Islam towards the Hinduism. They accuse Hinduism to be a religion of withdrawal. It means we always say, oh, this is a horrible world, this is a material world, full of misery, we should not do anything, we must prepare ourselves to give up this world. So they don't live with a harmonious existence with this world. And then he says that they, the Sikh, no, in fact they have social rules, they live this life, they make money, they donate, they just exist along with all what this time, place and circumstances offer to them. In our Vaishnava understanding is not like this. Although we know that this is a material world full of misery, but we enjoy serving the Lord in this material world. At the beginning when I came to India, I went to the temple of Delhi after being like 5 days in India, and because I'm not so shy, I stood up and I asked Gopakrishna Maharaj, why in India there are many crazy people? And everybody started laughing. Why this crazy foreigner stands up and say that we are crazy? Well, I didn't say the devotees are crazy, but I said the vast majority, because we come fresh into Vaishnava philosophy by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. We come here, we see that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and all the other devas are servants of the Supreme Lord. Then I come here and everywhere, no, Ganesh is the Supreme Lord, no, Shiva is the Supreme Lord. I went to Pashupatinath, Shiva is the greatest and all the others are below. So then I ask this question. And we have a big advantage. We the foreigners, we have a big advantage. We don't have the traumas to belong to a school who rejects Vaishnavism. And then we have to have fighting with our families in order to be a little bit shifted to be a devotee of Krishna. I was in Tirupati like a month ago, and one devotee says, I cannot surrender to the temple because my father will kick me out, because we are devotees of Shiva and for him he's the ultimate. So we don't have this problem. By the mercy of Prabhupada, he awakened in us the absolute truth like this. So we come here, we don't have the same traumas that many may have, and many may be confused. Even one time the Vishwa Hindu Parishad sent a letter criticizing ISKCON, why you put Krishna as the ultimate. You just read the books and then you will understand. We give space to all the other devas, but each one in its corresponding level. So it must be enough intelligent at the time of preaching. Again, I repeat, we should not show to others any symptom of hatred or rejection, but instead compassion and willing to help. So Srila Prabhupada, I was talking, in order to develop our personality, we must be 100% ourselves in whatever we are doing. That we must preach. He says, yes, it is true, but we must preach to them. Many people, they don't know that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as I said, but we must preach. There is one group, even in Vrindavan and even in Puri, they say that Lord Chaitanya Dev is Radha, but not Krishna. Well, at least they know half of the truth. From there they can start. There is one Muslim in the holy dam of Mayapur, he's from Rajpur. He always visits me when I go to Mayapur. And he rejects, according to his religion, we cannot blame him, that Chaitanya Dev is God. I say, it's okay, no problem. What do you accept him? Say, I can accept him as a sadhu. You accept him as a sadhu? This is an important step. At least you accept him as a sadhu. And do you chant Hare Krishna? I said, yes. And he's always in the devotees, he chants Hare Krishna. And he goes to the house of, Murari, one devotee in Mayapur, he goes and he does kirtan, he plays midanga and chants. So just imagine how fortunate he is, a Muslim born in the dam, in the holy dam, because they are the most special Muslims, those who take birth in the holy dam, they are very special, and he chants Hare Krishna. So it doesn't matter. We should not be fanatic. This is a very important step. It's not that everybody has to shave their head, put saffron and have their sikha. No. This is not a society of priests. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, better is the congregational preaching. Some must have brahminical qualities and brahminical activities, but we do not expect that everybody wear saffron, shave his head and have sikha and be in the temple. Even the 12:10 of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about this, and Srila Prabhupada elaborates enough in the 12:10, 12:11 of the Bhagavad Gita. So 100% devotee is a perfect person who is totally surrendered. A 70-year-old man goes to America without being a singer, but he sings and attracts others by his singing. He is not a writer by profession, but he writes millions of pages. He is not a musician, but he plays mridanga and plays harmonium and he teaches others. How is it possible? This is just because he's 100% surrendered. So the success in our mission is how much surrendered we are, that much blessings and success we get. One time my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Jaya Pataka Maharaj, asked me, joking, but behind the joke there was a big teaching. He said, Tushti, how much love you have in your heart? And because I'm very puffed up, I said, oh, unlimited. Oh, I have so much love. He said, well, as much love you have in your heart, as much blessings you get from the Lord. And I don't know if you know the story of Jesus and Maria Magdalena. Do you know about it or not? Because sometimes I bring stories people are not familiar with. But just to bring the moraleja of this thing is that one time one of the disciples of Jesus, one of the 12 disciples, he asked him, why you gave full blessing and forgiveness to Maria Magdalena? And I have left my family, surrendered to you. I'm following you. I yesterday even make a big feast in my house to present you to all my friends and all these things. But you have never given me so much. So why you give her? He said, no. I gave the same blessings to you both. But as much surrender and love in your heart you have, you get. She came to me, and upon seeing me, she fell down. She cried, and with her tears she washed my feet, and with her hair she dried my feet. She was completely repentant of her sins. And because she had 100% of surrender, and because she has 100% of love and devotion, she got 100% of blessings. So she got 100% of kripa from the Supreme Lord. If we go to Radharani, she is Prema Bhakti Ishvari, and we ask her to give us Krishna Prem, she will say, no. First you go to Nityananda Prabhu. If he agrees, if he gives a blessing, I give you Krishna Prem. And then we go to Nityananda Prabhu, and also we ask him for mercy. He says, you first go to Radharani. She's Prema Bhakti Ishvari. If she agreed, then I give. Then we are in between. And what's the meaning? We cannot reach Krishna without the Adi Guru and his representative. There is a blockage. We cannot go to the 10th floor without going through the previous 9th floor. So there is a blockage. Hey, stop here. You cannot cross. So both Lord Nityananda and Srimati Radhika must agree or be in a positive condition towards the devotee in order to achieve Krishna Prem. Please let me bring one example. That one time Guru Maharaj, I was in Mayapur, and then someone called him and I have to go to deliver a message, important message, and then there were 13 devotees from Switzerland who came and they wanted him to go to Swarup Ganj. Then Guru Maharaj took them to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, and then coming back I could join the group. And there was a devotee, please listen to this instruction, there was a devotee asking Guru Maharaj a very important question. And he asked, Maharaj, I used to chant with so much love the Maha Mantra. I don't like anymore. I don't feel the same desire to chant as before. Why is this happening to me? Guru Maharaj was a little bit impressed. Even the expression he put in his face was like very rare. He says, oh, be careful. Guru Maharaj was very, very, very much worried about this. He says, be careful. Lord Nityananda is the most, most, most merciful. But he becomes 100% merciless if you are a Vaishnava Parali. And the biggest punishment is not that you die by car accident. It's not that you get cancer. It's not that you get AIDS. It's not that you get burned. These are all punishment for the body. The biggest punishment that Nityananda Prabhu gives, he withdraw from you the taste of chanting the holy name of Krishna. This is the biggest punishment for the devotee, that he withdraw the taste of chanting the Maha Mantra, because it's the key to reach Krishna. It's the key of self-realization. It's the key to go back to Godhead. Understood? I hope this message for me is very, very important. I like to be repeated as many times as possible. I consider Guru Maharaj to be a very important authority in Chaitanya Leela and all these kind of expressions. He knows very well the mood of the devotee. Actually, he says that when we go to Mayapur, in fact, we don't enter Mayapur. We go to Mayapur, but this is Sadini Shakti, is part of the body of Balaram. And Mayapur is not a common place. It's not even created by Krishna. Mayapur, as one time one lady, she was at the Gurukul, and she was going to Vrindavan, and suddenly happened, Guru Maharaj was walking, Japa walking, and she says, I said, oh, how are you? Where are you going? She was taking her bag. She says, oh, Maharaj, I'm going to Vrindavan, and you know. So it's like this. And says, why you are going to Vrindavan? Be careful there with the offenses. He said, well, you see, Radharani is there, and I like Radharani, and you see the mood, Radhe, Radhe. And this. He says, are you sure that Radharani is there more than here? He says, yes, you know. I say, yes, you are wrong. This is created by Radharani. Mayapur is not created by Krishna. Srimati Radhika took the flute of Krishna, and out of her unlimited love for Krishna, she created Mayapur. The whole Mayapur Navadvip is full of Radharani. Krishna in the mood of Radharani. Although Radharani is in Vrindavan, but Vrindavan is not the mood of Radharani. While all the activities of the Panchatattva, all are in the mood of Radharani. Then he explains, Guru Maharaj, that the most confidential form of Radha, the most confidential form of Radha is Gadadhar Pandit. Because she didn't want to lose the association of Chaitanya Dev, of Krishna, when he is executing his pastimes in Mayapur. He says, no, but I will take sannyas. You cannot be with me. Then she insisted, and he gave her a male body so they can always be in association. And what she used to do in her male body as Gadadhar, narrate or read the Bhagavatam, the most important parts of the Bhagavatam that talks about the service and the devotion that the devotees have for the Supreme Lord. Prahlad Maharaj, Durvasa Muni, all these great personalities. So he used to fall down in ecstasies when he used to read these things. So we have to be very careful. So coming back to the devotees, why Krishna consciousness in fact give the highest level of personality development? And I would like to ask some sincere question to all those who are present. You can make up your mind after some time, which I did a few days back. How many of you, before becoming devotees, you had the same respect in the society? Now the people and the big corporates, they pay millions to important personalities to give lectures on personality development. So the people are always proud and happy and productive. Krishna consciousness is full of happiness. It's not the science of withdrawal in this perverted way as other things. If we are not happy, we cannot get donation from the people. If you go sad to a life member, will he give you money? But because we show them that we are satisfied, we are happy in our service to the Lord, we inspire them. Even Srila Prabhupada in the West says, you may not accept my philosophy, but just look at the faces of my disciples, how happy they are. This is the real achievement. So Krishna consciousness means full happiness, spiritual happiness, not temporal happiness, not senses or object senses happiness, but spiritual happiness. So this happiness we irradiate to the others, and we motivate others to come here. This happiness makes this opulent temple to exist. For one reason. Because whenever we surrendered, all the gates are open to us. Any bhakta who was in his house before, can he knock the door of a VIP and have easy access to him? Can any devotee from any part of India, even if he's a Dalit from the untouchables, even if he's from Bangladesh, even if he's from the poorest area of India, or from the, even if he's illiterated, but because he put the robe of a Krishna Bhakta, he puts the tilaka, and he represents Srila Prabhupada, all the gates are open to him. They bow down to you, they touch your feet, and they seek your blessings. What higher level a devotee needs than this highest level in the society? This is not personality development. This is not the greatest achievement. That even if you meet a prime minister or chief minister, he will offer his respects to you. Yes or no? So we must be proud from being a representative of Srila Prabhupada, a representative of Krishna consciousness. This is personality development through Krishna consciousness. We must be grateful, always grateful. Thank you, always thanking the others for their service to us. We must inspire people. You see the trick of Lord Krishna? It's so perfect. Listen, the Gita, every day I read more the Gita, is so perfect for other religions. One time I met one scholar in Bahrain. He learned Arabic. He's a pundit in Arabic. And the king of Bahrain gave him the highest position in the cultural center there. And he's an Indian. And I went there and he gifted me 3 Gitas in Arabic, only the slokas of the Gitas. And I said, what is your religion origin? He says, I'm a Buddhist. I said, if you are a Buddhist, why you translate the Gita? He said, because I don't care about the Gita, I just go to the 1866, where Krishna says, leave all the rituals, all the other religions, and just surrender unto me. You see? So perfect is the Gita, that for every creed, every religion, every state of consciousness, there is a sloka. In these few minutes, less than an hour, Krishna spoke the perfect knowledge, the instruction for everyone in every religion, in every state of consciousness. And what to speak about the Bhagavatam or the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is also full of knowledge, medicine, astrology, astronomy, relationships, composition of the body, all these things, all is there. So we must be happy. There is just one small story. One time they asked one person, what makes you happy? He said, when I get graduated from the university. After he got graduated, are you happy now? He says, no. He says, why? He said, when I get a job and start making money. And then he finds a job and starts making good money. Now the IT people, all this crazy thing, getting more than 1 lakh salary. Wow, boom. Creating big bridge between the poor and the rich in India. And he says, now you are happy, you got money. He says, now you are happy. He says, no, because I want to build a house. So he works, and then he builds a house. Now you are happy. He says, no, because my house is void. I want to get married. So he gets married, and they ask him, okay, now you are married, you have wife, you have house, you have a job. Are you happy? He said, no, because the house is like very boring. I love to have a children. And then he has some children, and they ask him, okay, now you have children. You have house, wife, job, everything. Are you happy? He said, no, because these children are very naughty. I don't tolerate them. I only will be happy. I'm 100% will be happy when all my children grow up and they go to the university. Then I'm happy. And then they grow up, they go to university, everything, and they come to him. Now you are happy, sir? He said, no. He said, why? Because when only my children, my sons get married, I bring grandchildren to the house, because the house is again void. I don't like my house. I feel like old, and nobody's here. So whenever they have a grandchildren, I'll become happy. And then their sons got married, they have children and everything, and then they go and ask him, now are you happy? No, because I'm very old, I am sick, I cannot enjoy. So he was never happy. So his happiness was postponed. I will be happy when I get this. I will be happy when I get that. This is not intelligence. I am happy today. I am happy today. This is super happiness. It's not that the gopis were very upset when they used to go to Mother Yashoda. This example was given by my Guru Maharaj in some lectures. It's not that they were very upset with Krishna. They go to denounce him to Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda, Krishna stole the ghee and all these things and that. How is it possible, says Mother Yashoda? I have 9,000 cows. We are the richest people in this kingdom. We have enough ghee to give to everyone. What for my son has to steal ghee from you? Do you have any proof? No. We don't have proof, but we are sure that he is the one who steals our butter. Do you have any proof? So in fact, Guma says, it's not that they were upset. It's just that they love so much Krishna that they want to talk about him something. And they just find a way to approach Mother Yashoda to speak about Krishna. So this is spiritual happiness, because speaking about Krishna gives them real happiness. So devotees must express happiness and satisfaction, contentment. Contentment means satisfaction. I am happy with what I have. Prabhupada explains that one should not be greedy and ambitious. Even if you are a rich person, even if you have car and all these things, please, with what consciousness you have them, this is the most important thing. You can be rich, but employ this richness in Krishna consciousness. So this is the highest consciousness. You can be rich, you can have cars, you can have planes, you can have companies. It doesn't matter. But don't be 100% materialistic. Live a parallel life. Don't forget your spiritual life just because you got rich. In fact, you will never be happy, and your happiness is very temporal. When are you happy? One time, Srila Virabhaha Prabhu gave a lecture. I was new bhakta, and he says what? And he was asking people, what makes you happy? What makes? He says, some people say it makes me happy. Eat. People are very happy when they eat. Say, it's okay. So how long you can eat? For how long? For half an hour. How much you can eat? 2 plates. And after that, you become unhappy. So you are happy only while eating. After that, you become unhappy. So your happiness is limited to a very short time. And what makes you happy? Oh, dancing. I remember one guy said, I like to go to the disco and dancing. He said, it's okay. I would like to ask you the same question after 4 hours of dancing. How much the body tolerates dancing? So you are happy for 4 hours while you are dancing. And after that, you lose happiness because you get tiredness. And what makes you happy? Oh, have relationship with a beautiful girl. Okay, and you had a relationship with that beautiful girl. For how long? For half an hour? For 1 hour? And after that, what? So your happiness is limited to a physical capacity and to time. So this is not real happiness. And then the brahmachari, then in this case, if the best brahmachari is that person who does not do anything but his mind is not in brahmacharya, then Srila Prabhupada explains, then all the animals who are in the zoos are perfect brahmacharis because they are locked. And those thieves who are in the jail, they are honest people because they cannot steal. It's not what limits my body makes me be. It is what my consciousness is makes me be. So if I am Brahmachari by mind, wherever I am Brahmachari. And if I am honest, either I am free, I am honest, or either I am arrested, I am honest. So this is all a state of consciousness. So realization is a state of consciousness, devotees is a state of consciousness, and happiness is a state of consciousness. I finish, Mr. President? What's the time? Oh, I have 15 minutes more. I'm talking about, I don't know if you know, because some of the stories that I have are not from our Shastra sometimes, because in the West we bring some great emperors or great philosophers. I would like to share a few things about the first time that I took shelter, and what was the lecture that made me be inspired to become a devotee. Although I became a devotee the same day, by Krishna's mercy, it was on Ekadasi. But what inspired me the most was the sincerity. And Guru Maharaj at that time, October 21st, 1993, I remember even the date, he said, I would like to give a small example on sincerity, which is the basis of real spiritual development. And then he said, there was a king, I think you know the story, there was a king guru who wanted to test the level of devotion of his disciples and followers. And then he sent the two to kill one swan and come back. Do you know this story? Do you know the story? So then there was one time a big king who was at the same time a sadhu. And he wanted to check the real understanding and spiritual intelligence of the followers and disciples, and he gave a very specific instruction. All that's forbidden to kill animals, he bring two people and he tell them, now it's 6 a.m. in the morning, you have the whole day until 6 p.m. to go wherever you want in the kingdom to kill this swan and bring it back to me at 6 p.m. but there is one condition: No one absolutely must be looking at you when you kill him. There should be no witness. You go to the jungle, you go into the caves, you climb the trees, you lock yourself in the room. Wherever you go, you make sure no one is looking at you. You kill the swan and you bring it back here at 6 p.m. The whole advisors, the whole ministers of the king were so eager that 6 p.m. comes to see the result of this instruction of the king. And the whole village or the whole kingdom were talking about this. So then they go, and after 6 p.m. all the assembly hall was filled up with great scholars and ministers and all these things, and the first disciple comes with the swan killed and bleeding. And he comes and says, my dear Gurudev, my king, I followed perfectly your instruction. I went very far away in the jungle. I entered into a cave. I was 100% sure that no one was looking at me. I even checked the whole place 2 kilometers in diameter, making sure that no one was looking at me and following your instructions. When I was 100% sure that no one was looking at me, I killed the swan and I followed your instruction and I bring it to you now. He says, very good. Thank you very much. And everybody clapping. Thank you very much. You really followed perfectly the instructions of your guru. So everybody was happy with him. But everybody was waiting, where is the other guy? Where is the other devotee? He was coming slowly, walking very slowly, and suddenly he entered to the hall. And all the advice of the kings, and why isn't he talking? How happened? Amazing. Then he entered, and the swan was alive, was not killed. And there was a shock in the hall. And they were like gossiping. How is it possible he didn't follow the instruction of this guru? How is it possible he didn't kill the swan? Oh my God, the king may now punish him. All these things were coming out. And he came in a very humble way. And the king asked him, how is it possible you didn't follow my instruction and you didn't kill the swan? And you come here now without executing your duties. What happened so far? Please explain. My very dear king, my holy Gurudev, please forgive me if I didn't kill the swan. I went very deep in the jungle. I went inside the caves. I even locked myself in the room with no light. I tried many, many ways. The whole day I'm tired. Wherever I go, please listen to this, and raise my hand to kill the swan, I feel that the Supreme Lord is there looking at me. He is monitoring me. He's supervising me. And Your Holiness said, no one absolutely should be looking at you when you kill the swan. Please, my Gurudev, how you want me to deny the existence of the Lord monitoring me and looking at me? That's why I couldn't kill the swan. Please forgive me. Everybody was shocked. Everybody in the assembly hall was saying, amazing. The king was very much pleased, because from his heart he was a wise person. He knew that this was the right answer. He told him, you are the greatest of all my disciples. You are the real devotee, because you saw Krishna everywhere. Because you know he's monitoring you. You know he's looking at you everywhere, wherever you go. You are the greatest devotee. I congratulate you. So this is one of the secrets in spiritual advancement, in personality development, to realize and know that the Supreme Lord is everywhere supervising us. And coming back to the verse of Srila Prabhupada, he says the super soul, Paramatma, is everywhere directing even Brahma and Shiva, even directing Atrimuni, who wanted a child like the Lord. But Srila Prabhupada said he was not a pure devotee, Atrimuni, because he didn't want the Lord. He wanted a child equal to the Lord, but not the Lord himself. Therefore, is considered to be a material austerity. This will be described by the next person who will give Bhagavatam, because this is described in the next verse. So Atrimuni, he did a lot of austerities, but for sense gratification. Even if it's subtle, the subtle sense gratification is worse than the gross sense gratification. We have desires of fame, desires of name, desires of power. We cannot touch it. Oh, I desire a car. We cannot touch it. But are very dangerous because are built in us in a very strong way, very attached. So these are the most dangerous things. So Atrimuni didn't know who was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he wanted one son equal to him. They were very merciful to him. Each one blessed his wife to have one of his expansions. But this is all arrangement by the Lord to create the devas and to bring so many people to the humankind, to the whole universe. So Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Patita Pavana Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, first class world citizen Srila Prabhupada ki. The devotees are first class world citizens because they devote themselves for others. They devote themselves to help others. They devote themselves to rescue others. they are the richest persons on earth, because when they pass away, they have something to get the spiritual world with. If Bill Gates died today, or Ambani, or Tata, or all these people, they die, after they leave the body, and they see to which condition they are going, they get repenting, and they say, please, I give you all my property, but take me back to Godhead. He says, the property belongs to your body, and your body is there, decomposed on earth. What belongs to you are the pious and spiritual activities. Now, as a spirit, you have only with you your spiritual activities and the credit of your pious activities. You don't have with you the credit of your material activities. Understood? That's why the devotee is the richest person on earth. I had the mercy by Guru Maharaj to give a lecture to very, very, very poor people in the oil fields of Abu Dhabi. And they were all down in morality. They were not high. They didn't have personality growth, because they were very poor. They were suffering. I said, listen, all you are the richest people on earth. You may be poor for 30 or 40 years, but if you do devotional service, you will be rich eternally. But those who are rich for 30 and 40 years, they will be deprived if they misuse their wealth. That's why devotees and followers of Srila Prabhupada and representatives of Krishna have the highest level of personality development and the richest thing on earth. They have the mercy of Radharani and the mercy of Nityananda. Sisi Radharas Bihari Ki, Patita Pavana Paramakaruna Sisi Gornitai Ki, Sisi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Thank you very much. I always ask one question. Are you happier now than before? I did one seminar on happiness for 4 or 5 days in Siliguri and in Tirupati. The devotees were a little bit unhappy, and those who are in management were in worse conditions. And then why? Because we are not 100% devotees. I am 40% devotee. I analyze myself. I have 60% in other issues. And I said, because then you are 90% devotee. This 10% where you are not devotee, it makes you unhappy.